Bible, raise your hand. There's somebody going to get you one. And we'd like you to be able to follow with us. Second Chronicles is right before Ezra and Nehemiah. It's right after First Chronicles, of course, and Kings in the early half of the Old Testament. And I did mention in prayer, but we were given money both to send initially and then further money to send to our friends in Malawi for the food crisis. And they'll have finished distributing the first one today, and tomorrow we'll be sending them some more. And it's just money that came in beyond what the church did to help, and it's just a great blessing. I do trust our friends there to do the wise and best they can, but I always pray for them on that. We had a great encouraging message from Edwin on New Year's that said, "The Lord has blessed us more than we could possibly ever imagine or deserve this year. And you," he was pointing to me because of me and Gail coming, but it was all of you. Because all the counsel, the help, the teaching, and we've seen so much happen that would never have happened. And we can't. He just was very effusive. And if you don't know that word, watch Jeopardy. He was very effusive, and Edwin is not a very effusive person. And so it was very heartfelt. And I'm constantly asking the Lord, don't let us waste time, energy, and money and think we're doing something that isn't really as good as we think. Don't let us believe our press clippings, but let us hear and see from you. And to the best of my ability, like I have no shame or fear about those who have given money to help make the things happen that we do. I don't have any, and I would worry about it if I didn't pray about it. And if I didn't see what God is doing, I would then change. And I've changed before in Malawi because I didn't see it happening the way it's happening. Now, it doesn't mean it's perfect, but thank you. And amazing group right here. So what we're going to do today, and I'll pray in a moment, but we'll start now, is an introduction to the book of Daniel by doing 2 Chronicles 36, because Bible history, which is often coined as his story, his story, his story. And that's done because it's really true, but it's not only God's story of what he's done with people to show who he is, but it's what God is doing in your life and my life right now. And, you know, I understand that there's people who are gifted at counseling and digging into your issues when it's done right, and which I can't always say I know, but I know that there's people who do it well. And then there's other situations, you know, and they're talking out situations and issues is I understand that, you know, and I'm part of that sometimes, but I cannot think that there is any better counsel for anyone than to understand the Word of God. And it is not at a high level today in culture and even in the church that would be the issue, but I suggest to you that it is. And I mean, you wouldn't say when you were a kid to your mom or dad, as they gave you outline for you how the day should go and who's in charge of the household and where you're going to go in the car and what they're going to buy for you and et cetera. Well, that's your opinion and it's nice, but there's a lot of other factors and ways to look at things. You wouldn't say that unless you wanted, you know, back in my day, the back of their hand. I'm not talking that I'm rejoicing in abuse, but that wasn't even necessarily abuse in my case. It was just good, fair, even-handed punishment. And it taught me something. But be that as it may, strike that from the record. I don't want to go to jail today. But my point is, I can do no better for you, my friends. Maybe somebody else can. But I can't do anything better than to give you an understanding as best as I can as a teacher of how the Bible fits together, why it fits together, why the book's there, and what's in the book about the stories. Because right then and there, God is speaking through his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will never pass away. You fill in the blanks any way you want, but I'm going with the word of God. Number one, I'm not saying exclusively that God doesn't use people. He's using all of us, and he wants to, and our stories, and our giftings. But his word is true, And what I want to show you today is how to look at the book of Daniel from the get-go, from the start, by going through an introduction on the back of your bulletin. I've written some things out, and I'll just read through it with a few comments, and then we'll dive into 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 11. There's a couple of verses that are key verses for you to look at on the other side of your bulletin under the notes. And if you leave this study and say, I didn't understand a thing, I'll be surprised. But if you leave and say, I need to research that more to really understand it, I'll be blessed. Because that means that I've done a little bit of my job, and then it's on you. Whether you want to know these things. And they don't come from one reading, and all Bible prophecy isn't in one place, and every subject isn't like how they get those bullet points you get in all these things, or you get a highlight from instructions on all the major topics. The Bible isn't written that way, and I'll tell you what, it's on purpose so that you'll study and get to know God and not just try to find a list to obey and check off, because that's how your personality and nature is, many of us. But that's not necessarily knowing God. It's not a list of things to do or not do. It's bigger than that. It's His Spirit and His life. And He's forced us, if you want to know the Bible, He's forced you to dig in and read or listen if you're not a good reader, and to kind of find your way through it. He's forced you to need to grow. He did it on purpose. He could have did the bullet points. He didn't. So, by the way, if I get very like I am, I'm not railing on you. I'm just excited about it more than I would be about anything, God's word. Plant your flag on God's word. Because I got a lot of problems and weaknesses too. But I know I can trust His word. That's the bottom line. So, an introduction to Daniel starts with leading up to Israel's captivity in Babylon. And King David united Israel in his reign. The dates are there generally. Only there, this is not a thorough page. This is just a little highlight. His son Solomon expanded Israel's dominion, and then Solomon's son Rehoboam caused the dividing of Israel. Now, I have to correct that. It's, yes, he did when you read it on the page, but there's another place where it says it was of the Lord because God was dealing with His people. He simply used Rehoboam's rebellion, and you can read about him in the book of Kings after chapter 12, 13 there when Solomon dies. Judah includes the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and they're in the southern kingdom. We've talked about this, but get it straight if you can. Have it on paper in front of you. Israel was now the northern kingdom, also called Ephraim or Samaria, and that's the northern 10 tribes. When they divided, that's how they divided into two kingdoms. God gave all of Israel laws governing worship, social and national order, and their dealings with the world around them, but they rebelled on every front most of the time. That's the story of the Old Testament. It's not an attack on the Jewish people. I'm raised Jewish. I love my brethren, and there's wonderful Jewish people. But the thing is, it's not about, and I'll say this a few times during the day, it's not about how good Israel was or how bad Israel was. It's about how true God is. And if it's not Israel and the Jews, it's some other person. It's just human nature that's exposed by exposing Israel's faults and failures and showing God's blessing on them as well. And so Judah had 5 good kings in their whole total time, and they each had problems, but Israel had none. So as the Bible prophesied through Isaiah and others, many, he said, look at the northern kingdom, you're going to be taken captive because they went off the wires immediately. And in 722 BC, they were taken and destroyed by Assyria, the 10 tribes never to be regathered in any format that we would know on earth, but God knows the people of those tribes. Now, this served as a warning to Judah, but Judah did not heed the warnings. And the prophet spoke to them and said, you saw what your sister did, Israel, Ephraim in the north, and you saw what happened to them. Turn to me, stop turning to the idols and the ways around you. But Judah would not listen to God, but continued in the same path and even worse. Finally, Josiah was the last good king of Israel. He saw this one last great revival. What I've written for you, there's probably better ways to say it, but revivals only last in individual people. A revival changes a culture, it can, for a while. But it changes people permanently if they get saved, redeemed, or turned back to God if they were wandering, and that can be on through eternity. They've been changed for the glory of God. Cultures don't go on forever. Have you noticed? We're going to find out about that in the book of Daniel. Cultures don't go on forever. None of them. You don't have a revival that fixes everything forever. You have a revival that reaches people in that time. And they may influence people in the future, and some of the ways they change the culture may go on for a while. But it is not permanent. Never has been, never will be. Important point. So after this great revival, where did things go? For those listening on the internet, you need to be here, okay, because it's pretty exciting to see. But anyway, God promised them, though, in 586, he finally took away Judah in the south to Babylon, and that was on 586 is the third wave of a captivity. In the first wave, Daniel is taken. Second wave, more happens, and then finally the city's destroyed, and we'll talk about that more later, not today so much. God promised Israel he'd never allow them to vanish from the earth completely, but would always keep a remnant, and he'd also bring them back into their own land, which he did, before Jesus came, to bring the Messiah, Jesus has promised. And then they would disappear again from Israel. They would be scattered, which was 70 AD, which I'm adding, and then a second time before the return of the Messiah to rule and reign forever. So Israel sat as just a Bedouin land and very little care about it until Israel came back into the land as a nation. And that's today. Daniel gives us the most complete and clear prophetic picture in the Bible of God's sovereign plan unfolding in human history. And the biggest picture is Daniel chapter 2, because we see the image of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw, in which God describes world-ruling empires right up to the very end of man's time on earth. And we'll talk about that when we get there. And then the book's an essential part of prophecy, while also teaching the believer how to live for God in an ungodly world with patience. His word will not fail. But we're going to learn about that patience in a few minutes. So we set the stage in 2 Chronicles 36 as the captivity to Babylon comes to fruition. And there was something I was going to say there that will pop into my mind at some point, and I'll raise my hand and answer myself when I do. Verse 11, kind of the middle of a chapter where all the things that are unfolding in the final time, when all the things that are being done by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, all the rebellion that's going on against his control is happening and how it breaks down. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became the king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. How long did Jeremiah prophesy? Who knows? 40 years. 40. Have you been trying to reach somebody for a long time? Every day. Maybe not on the Sabbath. He probably rested, but maybe not. Maybe he had to speak on the Sabbath. So by the mouth of, and he rebelled, this is Zedekiah, against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart, turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more. Catch that? They didn't go, oh, we're in trouble. We must be blowing it. Let's turn back to God. They transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. They turned it into an idol worship temple. They did the abominations of the idol worshiping, child burning people around them. And the Lord God, verse 15, of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God did everything that you can do. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, which is still at Nebuchadnezzar, because the Babylonians, their main people group, the inner circle, are the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on young man or virgin or the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. Terrible thing. It was all prophesied, and there was a way for them, in one sense, to escape. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and his leaders, and all of these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the walls of Jerusalem, burned its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. And as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. I'll stop there for now. Have you noticed that, so God has blessed, takes Daniel and his three friends in the first wave. Jeremiah prophesies and other prophets. Have you noticed that human history and human nature are very parallel? What I mean is, what do you not need to teach a kid? Well, there's a lot of things you don't need to teach them, like to like sugar. No, honey, eat the sugar. Please, try it again. There may be a kid out there like that, but that's not normal. There's another thing you don't have to teach kids, to disobey, to lie, and to make excuses. You do not have to teach a child, and we've all been children, to disobey, to lie, and to make excuses. What of those things does not automatically leave just because you grow older? All three. They don't leave a person. Disobeying authority, lying, and making excuses does not automatically leave anyone. Ever. Just automatically. You don't just grow up out of it. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I thought you meant, we have in our family, we have a girl named Keitha. When our daughter was five, Keitha was five. She lived up the street. Gail gave Beth clear instructions, and Beth disobeyed about something. And she said, Beth, I told you very clearly not to do that. You were not to have that, do that, whatever. And she goes, oh, and Beth was like, high level of obedience kind of kid. She was pretty good, at that time. No, I mean, she was having a good run. And she says, oh, I thought you meant Keitha. It was like, I thought you were talking to the man in the moon. It had nothing to do with Keitha. There was no way for that to connect to Keitha, but with a straight face and, a little cherub look, I thought you were talking about Keitha. So, through the many, many years, decades now, when one of us does something and it's like, no, that wasn't it. I was told you this or that. It goes, oh, I thought you meant Keitha. It's just our little way of saying, yeah, I really missed that one. I blew it. Or if the other person is making excuses, yeah, I thought you meant Keitha. Now, we're kind-hearted when we do it, as always. But you have your own little deals you do in your family that come from your history, little sentences and sayings. Everybody's got them. Ours is, I thought you meant Keitha. You can borrow it if you want to. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I thought you meant Keitha. Or how come they don't have to? Why do I have to? Do you ever hear that from adults today? Oh my goodness. Or even maybe worse, I did do the right thing. King Saul, he was a full-grown man, taller than everybody. Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, I did exactly what you and the Lord told me to do. I did everything, but he didn't. He convinced himself that he did what he was told, but he wasn't. So Psalm 50, verse 21, and I don't want to take the time, but I want you to make a note of it. I don't know if it's in your bulletin. Yes, it is. It's verse 16, but I have 21 on mine. So read from 16 to 21, and you'll catch it. God says, in the whole psalm, it's a speaking about Israel's rebellion against him and using the sacrifices like this is going to save us because we do all this good stuff. He goes, I'm just tired of hearing, I don't want to smell your sacrifices. I want obedience. And he goes to the ones who are doing the right, the ones who love him, he's saying, come on, turn back from your wanderings. And the ones who are just really bent on wickedness, he goes, in the verse that I'm looking for, he says, you know, because I kept silent, you thought that I'm just like you. Please let this sink in. There's help for us here. And sometimes help comes with a sharp-edged sword. You, because I didn't act immediately about what you did wrong and were doing, you thought I'm cool with it. But let me correct you, because here's what's going to happen. There's trouble, and you can read about it. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter 8:11 is the sentence, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So people have a tendency, and we are people, and it can happen to us, to think that if God doesn't immediately slap your hand when you reach for the cookie or whatever that you weren't to take, that you're free to take those cookies. God will give you space. And it's not like he wants to give you enough rope to hang yourself, but because you have a will to choose, he gives you enough rope to hang yourself. Because is any of you want to be on a 4-foot leash? My dog doesn't want to, and neither do you. We want to be free. What kind of freedom are you looking for? If it's freedom from God, that's going to be a bad scenario. If it's freedom in God, then realize that just because God is patient and takes a lot of time doesn't mean he's impotent or uncaring, doesn't see, or doesn't exist. So he's talking with Israel about this, and whether it's 2020 or anywhere through history, God had compassion on them, but they despised and mocked and scoffed, and he had to stop them before they're totally annihilated as a nation and as a people with identity, because Jesus has to come through the tribe of Judah, the crimson thread of salvation woven through the fabric of time. God has a plan, and he's going to fulfill it. And so part of that is he promised them captivity. And now I want you to notice, as I read slowly in verse 20 and 21, so the land could have her Sabbaths. And you have references. You don't have to turn there, but listen to Leviticus 25. You know, this is hundreds of years earlier. First, the instruction. Verse 3, 6 years you shall sow your field, plant, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. This is Moses in the wilderness getting the law. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyards. What grows on its own accord you'll harvest. Of your harvest you shall not reap nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it's a year of rest. And then he goes on and says, the sixth year I'm going to bless you so much, you'll have stuff that takes you into the eighth year when you're planting your new seeds, because you're going to rest in the seventh year. So you're going to get like 3 years out of one, you're going to be blessed. And this is a rest for you and for the land. That's a good deal. Chapter 26, verse 33, when he's telling them also the promise of them being cast into other lands, out of their land for their rebellion and disobedience, if they just turn away from his word, Israel is this picture for all of mankind to see. The Bible may not be the most translated book anymore, but for almost all of human history, since books have been translated, it has been, and then translated in more languages than any other book. And he says, I'm going to bring you in verse 32 into desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it are going to be amazed at what I do with you because of you were my people. But I will scatter you, verse 33, among the nations, draw out a sword after you. This is hundreds of years before Babylon. Your land shall be desolate, your cities laid waste, and the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then in the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbath when you dwelt in it. Now, I don't really understand what God's doing. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't really get it. Could God have been any more clear? I'm not asking if you agree with him or you like it. Was it clear? Every seventh year is a year of rest. I want to bless you. I want you to experience something that no other culture anywhere in the world in history has ever or will ever experience on this earth. A land Sabbath. And I want you, you know what God wanted them to know? He wanted them to know the provision and blessing and miracles that their forefathers experienced in 40 years in the wilderness when their shoes didn't wear out, when they had food on the ground every morning that wasn't dirty. If he could land it on the ground, he could land it clean. And the rest of the miracles, a pillar, to be led by him, to have these miracles. Well, I wasn't there. I didn't experience that. My parents, those people, how do I know that? Well, you know it by obeying it and letting God reveal himself to you. And that's always going to be your choice. Well, I wasn't there in that great moment. Well, it's time for your great moment. And God had this incredible blessing for them. And his commandments we read on our final study in 1 John are not burdensome. This was not a burden he was laying on them, but you know what? I'm doing good. My crops are going well. I need to make hay while the sun shines. I'm not tired. I got energy. I don't have to listen to God's word because what I see in front of me is very clear to me. Do you realize that we have a sinful nature? We don't just sin and we just don't disobey. Adam brought us into a nature that's alienated from God. And our problem is, and see if this doesn't fit for you, there's a few people in this room, God has so worked in your life and you're so kind of gentle. I think you're still a sinner saved by grace, but you don't have a lot of desires other than to serve the Lord. And I'm going to believe you if you say, I just don't get tempted that much, except maybe fear or frustration or sadness. Maybe that's you. But the rest of us, and I'm the rest of us, it's like man's nature and the old nature is, if I can do it without God, I'll do it without God. That's how you're built in the flesh because of the fall, because you're Adam's child. I'll do it. It's not intentional. My spirit doesn't want to be that way. My flesh has never changed. If I could do it without God, I do it without God. What I mean is, and for me, it's not like I consciously am saying that. I'm saying when the flow of life takes me away from my seeking of the Lord, I'll just go that way because I can do it myself and I'm just comfortable. You know, that's why I'm glad I get some trials and some failures and some things. I like reaping what I sow quickly so that I'll start planting good seeds again. We used to tell our kids that, you know, we're praying that every time you plant a seed of sin, it will pop up and hit you in the nose and give you a bloody nose so quick. Why? So you'll stop planting those seeds. I said, but you know, but I got to tell you, God doesn't automatically do that all the time. You might have to learn by reaping later what you sowed earlier. And some of us who are older know all about this. And you'd think people in this world would know all about this. But sin blinds and binds. and grinds. Ask Samson. Blinded, bound, and grinding at the wheel. That's what sin will do. So God says, whether you choose to let me bless you, whether you choose to obey me and do it my way or not, I will get my land Sabbath. That's going to happen. The land is mine. And I'm going to prove to you and to the world that I keep my word and I know what I'm doing. And he that has ears to hear, Jesus would say, let him hear. I can't make anyone grasp this, but I can proclaim what the word of God proclaims. And God proclaimed to his people, I'll take you out of that land, and I'll take 1 year for every seventh. And there was 490 years they were in the land, and they didn't do it once. So 7 times 70 is 490. The years that they were in the land. So now we go to the, does this relate to anybody today? Absolutely. I have this way of thinking. I've developed my own understandings. They work for me. You know, I don't argue with people who say my way that isn't really the Bible works for me over whether it works for them. I would just point out to them, you're not done yet. Story isn't over. And God would spare you from what you're going towards here, friend. So there's a, you know, the scholars that are anti-God and Bible try to say that all these prophets were not really in their timing as well. Isaiah, there must have been three Isaiahs. Daniel wasn't written until many centuries after, because Daniel nails it all down. When we get there, you'll see it. He nails down the history of man past his history and past ours. And we're in the middle of the last part of it. And all relating to Israel. And Jesus, though, quotes in Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's Daniel chapter 9. And 7 through 11 is where we have chapter 2 with the big picture he saw of the kingdoms of man, and then 7 through 11 is an entire description of some of those kingdoms and what happened uncannily, so much so that scholars try to say he couldn't have written it before it happened. It's impossible. But they don't use scholarship, they just use cynicism more. And Jesus said, when you see this thing that Daniel spoke of, Daniel the prophet, that seals the deal for me, because I don't think Jesus missed class that day. So, in the holy place where the temple is, you know, that's gone right now, isn't it? There's no temple, but Israel's back in the land, just as prophesied. So, to look at it from a New Testament view, on the front of your bulletin is 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll be turning there and read you a few more verses than that. And we'll finish on this. This is the introduction of not only where we find Daniel in Babylon during the captivity, but this is also, we almost finish on this, I should say. This is also a New Testament picture of the same kind of reality. Beloved, I now write to you 2 Peter 3, the second epistle letter, in which, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first. So notice how much this is similar, okay? Are you catching this? Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts or desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget. For this they willingly forget. For this they willingly forget. that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that was existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. God is outside of time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. You know, whether it's 1,500 years B.C. to 800, 600, 586 years B.C., or whether it's 2020 A.D., I didn't know. It was all so confusing. The person who told me about this stuff was a hypocrite. You know, I thought you meant Keitha. People find out what they want to know. That's what people do. You have friends, and some of you, you research things. My wife researched, what's that stuff called? Sophie? Scobie. Yeah, that's right. And Cindy over here, they were the girls at a dinner with, there was three ladies or four ladies and I don't know how many. Three of them, yeah, were talking about Kabuchu and I don't know. It's like I thought, you know, this is the Star Wars I didn't see. Then she brought home a jar with SCOBY in it. I said, yeah, that's like the alien creature. It's going to, in the nighttime, it was so weird looking. And it's like, that is going to pop out of that jar and kill us. Except I trust in Jesus. And no more lost in space for me. You know, people research and learn what they really want to know. By the way, I don't fault my wife for learning about that stuff. It's healthy. People research and learn and go a little deeper when they really want to know. And when people don't want to know, they find a way, we find a way to not know. Satisfactory to our own conscience that's seared, not a pure conscience. Sad. Well, I don't understand all this stuff. It's too, you know, God didn't put all the prophecy in one place and a bullet point. We did this earlier at the beginning, right? Okay. Because this is my seventh session today. I have churches you know not of. So I didn't know it was confusing. The people that talk about are hypocrites. They go up to mountains and wait to fly away. They charge their credit cards. They say on this date, June 13th. Yes, there's crackpots about everything. There are crackpots about everything. That doesn't mean everything they're a crackpot about is not real. And you don't do that in other areas of your life. You find out what the real deal is. And some people are going to care and some people aren't. I got no control over that. I got no control over what you care about or anybody else you and I talk to. I have control over what I care about and how I live it and communicate it. And I have my own problems, so I have to stay humble about that. I'm not sitting on the top edge here controlling everybody and saying this is how you do it. But there is a God. Daniel will say to Nebuchadnezzar, it's not in men, but there's a God in heaven that can show you these things. So you guys in your prophecy, it's such a joke. This has been going on since the beginning. Well, you know, the earth had stored up water and it didn't rain. And then suddenly the fountains opened up and it rained. The earth, you know, it wasn't till when was it in the last century that we found out that maybe in this chair right here next to me, or several of them, I don't know the exact number, I'm not a scientist, there's enough energy in here to create a nuclear bomb because it's atoms, and if you just manipulate them enough and get them banging the right way, I'm being very simplistic, but you get what I'm saying. There's a lot of space. There's more space in all of this than there is actual physical. You look at, you know, there's space. God made, spoke the world into existence out of nothing. DNA is a flag just like Israel. Israel in the Bible history and DNA in science to say, you know, there's a little bit of order going on here. There's an order going on here that is you were clueless about in the past, and now it's just overwhelming evidence of intelligence and order to the universe, to the way you are right now, to the every hair on your face or your head, to the color of your eyes, to the way you go, because people do that different, to the way you go like this in your DNA. All of this, God's plan, I don't see God's plan coming to pass. You and I, my friend, will be tempted like every generation and every person. I don't see God's plan coming together in my life. So he must not care. He must not have power to fulfill, or he just isn't real. But human history, the Bible, Israel, DNA, his testimonies wave to us every day. God's design and God's control in history. It's not about that the Jews were a better people and that's why God kept them, or a worse people and that's why he chased them out. It's because they're people that needed a savior, and so do we. It's about God's revealing his authority, and we are accountable for what we know, and we are accountable for what we could know, but we choose not to know. Well, I didn't see a sign that said 25 miles an hour, so I was going 60 in this residential area because I didn't see a sign. Oh, you didn't know. Oh, okay, you're free. Doesn't happen anywhere. And when it does happen in our world where people don't aren't held accountable, there's chaos. Chaos. So, no, I didn't get it. No one told me. I couldn't make sense of it. Well, why don't you stick through the book of Daniel if you're one of those people and go slowly and carefully with us through it? Why don't you choose to care about it? And I'm speaking to many people just so that it's out there for everybody, okay? Why don't you choose to dig into it and not just, I go to church and I kind of listen, and if I don't get what's being said, I just tune out. I might not be a very good teacher, and that could affect you. But you're accountable. Nobody can do that before God and say, well, I just check out because I didn't get it. You have a lot of options to get it. Is that fair that I'm saying that, or is that too harsh? What are you going to say? I got a microphone. It's the beginning of a new book. It's the beginning of a new year. I just want this as clear as I can possibly make it. It's like, be a Berean, be a person that is integritous about your journey with God. You don't have to become a scholar, but don't tune out and just tune in what sounds good to you because it makes you feel good and you like it. It will not last for you, and it will not benefit your life. It will cause you harm. You're now your own God, and I am often decry that, you know, but I'll continue as long as I got breath, okay, and I'm done with that. So I couldn't make sense. I didn't know. Yeah, it's going to take time. That's why I'm going over this slowly. It's not, and the whole thing is this isn't just so God can judge man. The blessings is the real issue. It was meant for whosoever will to receive it. Just quickly back to Chronicles. In verse 22 and 23, after all this clarity comes down in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. This is the nation that comes right after Babylon. Babylon did not last very long, amazingly. Everyone thought it would go on forever. Didn't. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord came by the mouth of Jeremiah that it might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth and the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he's commanded me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So, that's really, I'm talking today to as many as I can, but I will tell you clearly, the Word of God is also clearly speaking to whosoever will. Whoever will. God is not willing that any should perish, all should come to repentance. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, this is your day. You might not get another one. This is your day. For those of us who know the Lord, but maybe we have been in a distant place. Maybe we've been captivated and taken to a distant land. It's time to come back today. And the Lord is beckoning you. His desire is not to hurt you. It's to help you and bless you and fulfill his word in you. And a very small percentage of all those people went back. But the ones who went back got blessed. And you get to come back to the Lord if you've been distant. You get to be strengthened in him if you've been walking but need strength. You need to make a first-time decision to turn to him. We're going to be taking a communion today, and we're going to have, we need it to be passed out. So Kevin, would you make sure with Tim or whoever that you guys will pass it out when we're ready. He's real. Today is the day to begin, not because it's New Year's, but because he's real, he's here, and he's calling you right now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't know him, then today's the day to use that as the tool to come to him. And